This is a Defocus Media production.
Hello and welcome back, friends. Happy New Year. It's been a few weeks since we've had an episode, took a little break for the holidays, and I'm very excited to come back again with a wonderful guest here on the 2020 podcast, bringing clarity to optometry, business, entrepreneurship, and life, all of it. As always, before we get started, I'd like to ask one little favor, and that is, if you get any value out of this episode or any other episode that you've listened to, please do share this podcast, subscribe, follow, like, do all the things that you think should help us grow. It's been an amazing journey so far, and I appreciate all the support that we've received. So thank you for that, and thank you in advance for all of the future things that you do to help support the podcast. As I mentioned, we have a wonderful guest. His name is Dr. Bruce Dorn. Dr. Dorn graduated from the University of Manitoba with honors in microbiology. He attended the New England College of Optometry in Boston, go Necco, and he currently practices in his own practice, Dorn Eye Care. He also started in 2012 his own company called Eye Revive, which is a company that sells an extensive line of dry eye products available exclusively through optometry practices. I know we're going to be talking a lot about that. And Dr. Dorn himself has a pretty extensive dry eye practice, and we're going to be talking a lot about dry eye and the business of dry eye. But before we get into that, thank you very much, Dr. Dorn, for joining me here on the podcast.
Well, thanks a lot for inviting me on the show. I'm excited to be here and talk with you. I think this is a really topical issue for a lot of optometry offices right now, so I think it's good timing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think dry eye definitely is one of the hot topics in our industry. And it's just really, I think what you've said to me a few times is it's just starting. Like, we're just growing this thing right now. It feels like maybe we've been talking about it for a while, but the place that we're going with dry eye, that we're kind of in the beginning of it, still tip of the iceberg. So if you wouldn't mind, just tell us a little bit about your practice in general, and then we'll go into some specifics as well.
Well, my wife and I started our practice about 20 years ago. We're located, you know, centrally in Winnipeg, you know, on a major thoroughfare. We bought an old bank, we renovated the bank, started this practice. So, you know, it's been kind of a long journey. My wife's an optician, so she's been very instrumental. She, you know, set up our dispensary and she does all the HR and the staffing. So she's been great on that side of it. And then we've slowly grown our practice over those years, as most people do. And it's been about approximately 10 years ago when we really started to get interested in dry eye. And we try to diversify and make kind of a subspecialty out of dry eye in our practice. So that's where we kind of focused our energies.
That's amazing. And 10 years ago was actually, I feel like, pretty early in the dry eye game. You know, the fact that, you know, you started your other company almost 10 years ago now, or about 10 years ago, is pretty impressive because, I mean, someone like myself, for example, has only really been dabbling for the last few years. So you've clearly got a lot of experience in that area. So if you wouldn't mind, if we could just talk a little bit about how you got into that, how you decided to start getting into dry eye. What were some of the early steps that you took in your practice to make that a part of your practice, that subspecialty?
You know, there was literally a day and a patient where something just kind of clicked in my head that I think dry eye is the way for us to go and become, you know, fully invested. You know, I had a patient came in, had dry eye, had concurrent blepharitis. You know, we've seen thousands of these patients. So the patient was in my office and I kind of recommended some things. I said, I think you need to go home and do some warm compresses. And I'm going to give you some sample lid wipes. I'm going to give you a sample of this artificial tear. And in about 10 days, I'd like you to come back. We'll talk it over and see, you know, if you've improved and how things are going. So this patient comes back. It's 10 days later, sits down in my chair. And I say, oh, how's it going? How are things? And he goes, terrible. I feel terrible. Nothing's improved. I'm not feeling any better at all. And I'm like, wow, describe to me, you know, what you're doing at home. And he goes, well, you know, I just took this face cloth. I put some warm water on it, kind of slapped it on my eyes. I said, oh yeah, okay. And how are you? He goes, well, I did it once or twice. I really didn't, you know, kind of do it that often. I said, did you use the samples that I gave you of the lid scrubs? He goes, no, not really. Did you use the artificial tear I gave you? No, I didn't even open the bottle. And I came at that moment to the realization was, I had given him those things as samples. You know, they were free. And to him, they had no value. They were these free items. And to, you know, his impression of what I did was, he's not very invested. He gave me a couple samples. He really doesn't care that much about, you know, what I'm feeling. So what I decided to do was bring in products that I would sell to patients. I would describe what they have. I'm going to give them my treatment plan, and then I'm going to get them to buy the products. Because if they believe in what I'm saying, if they're going to be invested, because this is an at-home maintenance treatment, I'd like them to buy the product. It's going to be financially healthier for our practice. But not only that, if somebody buys a product, they're invested. They're going to be a lot more compliant if they spent their own money. So we went out, we sourced products, we went to trade shows, we looked at things, and we kind of developed this, you know, product line that we're going to have in our office. And I started noticing my compliance rate didn't just go up a little bit. I mean, it was literally night and day difference between what I was doing before and the results I was getting now. So that really changed my mindset. And, you know, what I kind of thought to myself was, you know, with dry eye, go all in, like do everything you can possibly do for a patient, or refer that patient, or do something, you know, let somebody else kind of deal with that. So that's when I decided, you know, we're going to make a subspecialty out of dry eye.
That's amazing that you thought to do that, because I think what the thing that you were doing initially, you know, go home and do some warm compress. Here's a sample. That's what I think the majority of our profession, including myself, definitely not putting this on anyone else, we were all doing for so many years. And I found it was hard for me to make that switch to selling products. I felt like there was something uncomfortable for me when I was selling the drops to the patient. Now, today I don't feel that way, but about 3 years ago, I did. And I feel like I know there's others out there who feel the same way. Is there something that you could say to encourage people like to make that step, start carrying these products in their office?
Yeah, you know, I think we all feel this, and I'm not sure why, this sense of maybe subtle guilt that, you know, the patient has to spend their own money and buy products in our own product. But the reality is, if they don't spend that money in our office, they're going to go out to a pharmacy, not knowing what to pick, what's appropriate. They're going to spend that money, be probably more frustrated because they get the wrong thing. So I think patients are much more satisfied if you say, look, these are the exact things I want you to buy. These are the exact procedures I want you to do in this sequential order. And when they see that, especially if you include a follow-up with that, I always follow up on my patients. I never say, go out and do hot compresses, hope that works, you know, you see in a year or two. I always follow up in 10 days or 2 weeks. I always have a quick follow-up. It doesn't, you know, kind of blow up my flow or my routine. It's very easy to kind of fit these patients in. And when they see that you're invested, they'll invest. They know there's a problem. They're coming to you for that problem. They want your expertise. No one has more expertise in this field, quite frankly, than optometrists. It's, you know, we're the people that spend the time and the effort, and we really look at, you know, every part of eye health. So I think a little bit optometrists should think about that, and their recommendations hold a tremendous amount of weight with these patients.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So from that point, you started carrying the drops and some of these other products. And now, of course, you have some more advanced technologies that you are using in your practice. Can you tell us a little bit about where you're at now, what type of technologies you're using, and how long you've been using them?
So, you know, basically, I would break up our dry eye practice into kind of three aspects. One is we have all the at-home maintenance products that the patients can get when we treat their dry eye. This is obviously a condition you maintain. I describe this to patients a little bit like if you're a diabetic. If you're a diabetic, you go to your doctor, you know, first they diagnose you, they do some tests, they diagnose it. Then they prescribe something or they treat you with, let's say, insulin. But they're also going to ask you to go home and say, hey, I want you to change the way you eat. I want you to exercise. I want you to lose weight. That is literally an at-home maintenance that you're expected to do on your own, literally on a daily basis. So to me, dry eye is very similar to that. So what we did was we kind of broke our dry eye specialty into three types. We do A, the diagnostics. So I went out, I invested in some really good diagnostics that I would be able to show my patients what it is I'm seeing. If patients see images of mybography, non-invasive tear breakup times, tear meniscus heights, and they see normal compared to what they have, very powerful images that they see. Second of all, we obviously invested and got a line of products that we can give them to go home and maintain. So we have all these products ready for them. So a person comes in for a dry eye consult. Every single adult in my patient, we do a baseline mybography and non-invasive breakup time, because half your dry eye patients are very symptomatic, but the other half are asymptomatic. So if you want to find that other group, we started doing globally on adults anyway, we started to do myography. We have two pieces of equipment. We have an Oculus K5M, which is an exceptionally good machine. It's a little bit pricey, but it's very, very good as far as diagnostics. And we also have a Firefly, which is a slit lamp type device that you can do all the same tests. Plus, you can do video when you're doing gland expressions and things like that. So those two devices were critical in being able to kind of describe to patients and diagnose patients. And then thirdly, instead of just prescribing, let's say, Restasis or Xiidra, we went out and we decided we're going to be kind of in the early adapters of new technologies like RF and IPL, which are just revolutionary. So instead of just treating dry eye medically, which surprisingly in a lot of cases doesn't work as well as we'd like, and I think we've all been through this, we've given that prescription, the patient comes back 2 months, 6 months, and they're like, my eyes are killing me, it's no better. Now it's frustrating because you have no recourse. What do you do now? Whereas once we started adapting RF and IPL, we can still use those medical treatments, but now we have a very powerful kind of treatment modality that I think is far more successful for my patients than just using, you know, just a medical kind of treatment.
Yeah, absolutely. If you don't mind me asking, which devices are you using specifically? So you have RF and IPL both?
We do. And through the InMode, you know, InMode has a tremendous workstation. It's called the InMode device. It's got both an RF and an IPL in one machine. So the IPL is the Lumecca. And then they've developed a special handpiece that's just for eyelids for their RF, the radio frequency. And it's just a tremendous piece of equipment because we can use this right on eyelids with no shield. It's a bipolar type of technology. So what they've done that I think really makes this very applicable to optometry is when you use a bipolar type of RF energy, you're very precisely controlling where that energy goes. So it creates a very kind of a low level kind of electrical current. When you place that on the eyelid, that current is precisely controlled. And as the current goes through the skin, creates a bit of resistance, which creates bulk heating. But that bulk heating is very specifically confined right in the dermis, right where the meibomian glands are. We can bulk heat those, which we're always trying to do with hot compressing. So that's kind of always been the goal. Here, we're able to do that right at the level of the gland itself. So whenever I do RF, I immediately follow that with a gland expression. So my expressions have become much, much more, my in-office, you know, manual expressions are much more effective when I use RF. So we've kind of combined that RF procedure with the IPL when we're doing patients, because the IPL now we're treating on the superficial part of the skin, you know, the epidermis, and we're able to get rid of a lot of those small neovascular vessels. So we're stopping the inflammation. So it's kind of a little bit like dentistry in that you're brushing and you're flossing. You're doing two different things, but they're very different, but they're very important and they both have their function.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I know I've heard different things from different practitioners, and because I'm kind of early in the game, I'm not doing some of the more advanced stuff. We do IPL and RF, but generally we do them separately for different people. But, you know, I hear you saying that you're doing both. So you'll do RF first and then do an IPL on top of that. And
right.
Are there benefits to doing it that way?
There are definite benefits. And you know, we were kind of an early office that had, you know, the InMode technology and the RF and the IPL. And at that stage, it wasn't being widely used in Canada in optometry offices. So, you know, the company was great. They sent me trainers. They gave me lots of support. They gave me marketing. But in reality, they weren't the expert in eye care. So they knew they had a great technology. They knew this works well, obviously, in the dermatology world. But now optometrists had to start kind of using the technology, which is excellent, and trying to use that in a way that's going to be the most effective for dry eye, especially MGD. There's an awful lot of MGD out there. And if we could be, you know, do something that's more effective than our kind of our old ways of doing things, you know, I think that would be kind of a breakthrough. So I slowly getting a little more kind of experience and learning, you know, kind of what's effective and what's not effective. I started kind of playing with the energies. I started to combine the technologies together at the same time. InMode didn't recommend this to me. They weren't saying do them together. That wasn't their recommendation. This is something that I just started to do kind of off label on my own. And I suddenly discovered when I did my post-treatment mybography and non-invasive tear breakup times, I was seeing two big changes with my patients. Those non-invasive tear breakup times would go way up. And I would also start to see, I literally could start to see differences in the mybography, in the health of the glands and the length. They would start, you could see, just like in dermatology, the collagen would start to grow, neocollagenesis, and the glands would actually start to kind of rejuvenate themselves. So, you know, I wanted to see that myself. So I've been doing a lot. I've done over 700 of these procedures already. So I've had a lot of chance to kind of try this, try that. So now we've come to the conclusion that using this kind of combination therapy with manual expressions in my office has been really successful. You know, I would say for the majority of my patients, we're getting between 85 and 90% success rates. But again, we're seeing the patients multiple times. We're educating the patients. And when we do the procedures, we really try to do everything we possibly can to get them back to that normal state.
That's amazing. The fact that you've done that many procedures, I guess it gives you that ability to sort of test and see what works better, what doesn't work as well. That's pretty amazing. I guess you gain the confidence to do those things because you know exactly what kind of results you're getting or if there are any side effects or other benefits that may come from doing it a certain way, which I'm not quite there myself yet. So I'm always following exactly what the prescribed settings are, right? But I think when you start to venture out a little bit and do those other things, you start to get amazing results. 85-90% of your patients are noticing an improvement. That's huge. That's really amazing.
And not even them anecdotally noticing the improvements. You know, before we start, we do all our mybographies and tear breakup times, and we look at the glands, and then we compare that to after post-treatment. So 20 weeks later, we look at this. So I wanted to see for myself, is there proof, quantitative values that tell me that the tear breakup times are improved, that the patient is feeling healthy, there's less, you know, keratitis. So that is, you know, the proof that I needed that this is effective. And when you have that proof, you become more confident. Now, I am very confident recommending these procedures to my patients. And I think they sense that. When patients sense that you're like, this is going to work. We have a procedure. We have, the technology now where we can treat this condition that you've had for many, many years. And I'm very confident we're going to have a good prognosis here. I think that comes across to the patients when you start getting that experience. It really helps them, you know, kind of be confident in you doing these things.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I can speak personally from my own experience there as well, because I've had a few patients. I find it funny that when you start promoting these types of treatments and options that you have, the first people who come to you are usually the ones who have the most severe, the most chronic refractory condition that just nothing else has helped. They're like, okay, I'm willing to just try whatever.
Right.
But that also puts a lot of pressure on you then as a practitioner to fix a problem that no one else has been able to fix. But with RF, I actually have had a few patients who were using drops literally every 30 minutes to an hour for years. And that was the only way they got even a subtle bit of relief. But now they're down to using their drops maybe a few times a day and, you know, able to get through the day. Sometimes they forget to use their drops. So it's been pretty amazing to see that, again, both anecdotally and physically in the, you know, in the tear film and the meibomian glands and all that. So I could speak to it, but of course, my experience is a fraction of yours, but it's nice to see that it parallels what you've been seeing as well.
Right. Yeah. And you know what I say to patients, my goal here is to get you to not use drops. That's the ultimate goal for dry eye treatment, is to get the patient producing their own tear. Not only is that way more convenient for the patient, it's healthier. When you produce your own tear film, things are going to be better. That cornea is going to be healthier. So, you know, that's the thing that when patients hear that, I think there is a cost associated here. And I think a lot of doctors worry, you know, are patients going to be willing to pay the cost of what these procedures are? But you really have to look at it again from the patient's standpoint. If you write a prescription for Xiidra or Restasis, or they're buying artificial tears very, very chronically, look at the cost to the patient there. They're spending sometimes $2,500, $3,000 a year on drops. They're forced to use drops continuously throughout the day. This is not a great scenario for the patient, and they're doing that for the rest of their life. The costs associated with that are much, much higher than you doing four treatments of RF and IPL. You know, they're producing their own tears now, and they may not take or put any drops in their eyes whatsoever.
It seems to resonate a lot with patients when you tell them, like, I would like to get your eyes functioning in their normal way. You know, let's get you back to normal functioning so you don't have to depend on drops or medications. That really resonates. I feel like there's more and more of a movement of kind of this holistic health and natural right? Versus medications and things like that. So offering this, I often tell patients sort of like a holistic approach when we're taking these, talking about omega-3s and all these other things as well, patients definitely appreciate it. But the cost conversation definitely happens frequently, right? And I would love for you, if you could spend a minute or two, I know you've already touched on it, but what would you suggest to optometrists who are having that, they're guilty or they're scared or whatever it might be, to have that conversation and say, okay, look, I got this treatment option for you, but it will cost you. It's not, it could, it will. This is how much the cost is going to cost you, $1,500, $1,800 or $2,000 or whatever over the next 4 or 5 weeks. You know, what would you suggest to that person as far as getting over that hump and getting comfortable talking about it?
That's a great question. And I think, you know, most ODs that are not in this field yet or looking to get in this field, I think that's the number one thing in the back of their mind. That was definitely in the back of my mind when I first bought this equipment, because it is a big investment to go out and get something like this. But I think the key is combining this technology with diagnostic technology. So if you were able to, a Firefly slit lamp is a fairly inexpensive item. You could easily add this into your, just, you know, put it in place of your current slit lamp. You would now have the ability to do mybography. You'd be able to do non-invasive tear breakup times, which I think is very important that you can do non-invasive tear breakup times. Tear meniscus heights, do shoot videos, show patients, you know, the keratitis on the front of their eye when you put fluorescein on. So what's important is you need to do the diagnostics. You need to be able to show that patient, you know, what their gland situation or their corneal health looks like compared to normal. So I always have these comparisons. Here's a patient with normal gland tissue. Here's you. You've got 75% of your gland tissue is dropping out. The sooner we treat this, the better. This is like any other eye condition I treat in my office. If I see glaucoma early, I want to treat it early. If I see AMD early, I want to treat it early. Well, dry eye is exactly like that. The sooner we treat this, the better your prognosis is going to be. I give patients the option. I do tell them, we have two ways we can approach this. I can prescribe you medications. I describe what those medications are. You're going to be on these drops for the rest of your life. I have to be honest, they're fairly expensive, especially if you don't have insurance. But when we use these medications, we're really not rehabilitating your glands. We're kind of stopping the attack on the glands, but we're really not, you know, rejuvenating the health of those glands. So that's one option. We can do that. And I do have some patients that do that, or they start with that. They may switch later, but that's what they want to do when they start. And then I say, we also have these procedures, RF, IPL. I describe them very basically, just like I described to you. The RF is going to treat in that dermal layer deeper down where the gland is. The IPL, that's going to treat more on the superficial part of the skin. So we're treating the neovascular blood vessels. So this is absorbed by any kind of red or brown pigment. So obviously these vessels are leaking. They're abnormal. We want to get rid of them. So that's what this treats. Not only does it treat that, but it'll treat some of your Demodex and your blepharitis. So we get a double benefit there. And then I also describe we're going to do the gland expressions, because ultimately we want to get you producing your own tear film. And expressions to me, manual expressions are really critical, because if you don't see what's going on from treatment one to treatment two to treatment three, like with, you know, LipoFlow and some of these devices, you don't see what's happening. I think it's important that the doctor look at that between treatments so that they know what's happening with that expression of meibom. So when I talk to them about that, they hear that, A, I could be on this drug for the rest of my life, that might be $2,500 a year. They can do the math in their head. That's expensive. My treatments are $400 per treatment. I tell them it's going to be minimum 4 treatments. It may be more. I have really severe rosacea patients where I've treated them 6 times, some patients even 8 times. So they understand that. I don't do a package. I don't do kind of a discount for more than 4. I just say it's $400 a treatment. They understand that. I'm not apologetic about it, because I know it works. And in the long run, you are definitely saving the money. So I feel good about it, because I think I'm doing something that's incredibly effective, and I'm literally saving the money and aggravation and not having to put drops in over the course of their lifetime. So, you know, to me, that's the discussion that works really well. Those are the kind of the key points that I try to use.
Yeah, I think that all of that's really important, but the visuals, especially like the mybography and stuff like that, I think it could be a big turning point for anybody who's maybe not getting the conversion or uncomfortable about having that discussion.
Right.
Where would you say, so somebody who's just starting out in this, maybe they don't have any kind of advanced technology currently in their office. Would you recommend that's where they start? Start by getting a good diagnostic tool first and then look at the treatment technologies after?
You know, I think it's almost something you could get at the same time. Like if I was starting out from scratch, knowing what I know now, you know, what's going to be effective and what maybe wasn't effective for me as I was going through this journey. I think it's a small investment to make to get something. If you think about how much this technology costs and you know, your global investment, I would get the diagnostics and the treatment together. I think I would get them both because when you pair those things together, you get a really powerful tool that you can show people what's going on. And I think what a lot of ODs don't realize, you start doing mibography on, you know, that, and that's something that we really, that really turned the corner for us. You start doing mammography on just about every adult patient, you will be shocked at how many of those patients come in here with more than 50% gland loss. So the thing that I've learned more than any other thing in this journey is that autoimmune disease is far more prevalent out there than we think. And as optometrists, we can start diagnosing and seeing this. And I deal with rheumatologists and GPs and specialists far more now than I ever did before dry eye. I am literally writing a report to a rheumatologist, and I'm not kidding you, at least 10 times in a week, I'm writing a report. I'm sending them copies of the mammography and saying, here's a 20-year-old patient with 80% gland loss. What is going on? Could you do a workup and see? And you'd be shocked how many of my patients come back and they have Hashimoto's disease. They have JRA and they didn't know it. I've had a number of cases like that, really young patients that if I weren't doing these baselines, they weren't going to bring it up to me. They just thought, well, you know, that's the way it is. My eyes always kind of burn and sting and hurt me. And I just thought, well, I guess I'm a person who has burning eyes. That's the way it is for me. So that has really changed the way that I look at things. And I'm way more invested in, you know, systemic medicine than I ever was before I started dry eye.
Yeah. And that's amazing that there is that. I mean, it's not surprising. I think we understand that there is that connection between these systemic diseases and dry eye. For so many years, we've just said, oh, it's just dry eye. But now we know that there's so much more potentially happening in the background. So again, coming from somebody who sees a lot of these patients and treats a lot of them, it's pretty interesting to hear how many you found have that connection. So I think that'll wake up a lot of us and our colleagues to look into that a little bit more. Taking a step away from dry eye, I know that's kind of our main focus here, but in general, I'd like to ask you this. In general, your business as a whole, your practice as a whole, are there a few things that you could think of that have helped your practice grow over the years, whether it's creating a subspecialty or it's training your staff a certain way or anything else that you could think of? It's a very general, generic kind of question, but I wanted to make sure I put it out there. Just a couple things that somebody else who might be building their practice, you know, a friend of mine or someone I know who might be building their practices a little earlier stages, you know, what kinds of things you might recommend or suggest to someone in an earlier place?
You know, I think the most valuable thing we have here in our office is our staff. Our staff are just amazing. The patients interact with the staff probably more than they interact with me. They're talking to them. They're asking them questions about products we sell. You know, the procedures we do, whenever patients come in for RF, I have four techs. One of those techs is doing the RF. I'm typically not doing that on the patient. And then I'm coming in and I'm doing the IPL or the manual expression after. So it's really important that you train your staff. Good staff don't just happen by accident. It's a product of including them, letting them know about this technology, educating them. They want to know. And I think the thing that really shocked me when we first brought the InMode, the RF and the IPL in, my plan was to kind of train one of my more senior techs, and she was going to be the one that primarily was going to do this procedure. And so we did train her, and we did have the other staff kind of watching when the InMode trainers came in. And then one by one, almost immediately after, the other techs came to me and said, hey, I want to do this. I love this, because especially women love skincare. A lot of our staff are females. They're very invested. They know a lot about this. They do, you know, skincare routines and regimens at home, and they were super interested in all of this. I was really amazed at the buy-in. So now we have four staff that are able to do this. We rotate them through. We do a lot of these procedures. So it's really nice to have more than one person being able to do kind of, you know, check people in, do the consents, get them worked up, get the ultrasound on there, do the RF before. So it saves me huge amounts of time. I can really focus with the patient on educating them and talking to them about, you know, kind of where they're at. And that's been probably the single most important thing that's grown my dry eye practice is the involvement of my staff. And you don't be afraid to teach them things because they want to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's something that I've started to learn as well over the years is how important it is to have good staff. It's vital. I think you're right. I don't know if there's anything more important than that. And also I've learned that, you know, it's great to include them. I like to include the staff on everything I can, whether it's meetings with reps, whether it's bringing in new products, getting everybody trained up. So we're all on the same page, but it's nice. The staff has reported to me, they've told me that they really like it as well, being included that way. So there's not just an employee. They're really kind of part of the business and part of the practice as well.
Right. They want to be included in, you know, making decisions and giving input and ideas. They're all, you know, kind of wanting to be invested that way.
Yeah.
And then I was going to say the second thing that I think has been, you know, invaluable is having products in our office, the patients buy, like stuff that we've really sourced. So, you know, that's part of, you know, we have the Tranquilize XL kits that we sell for hot compressing. Always have my MG patients going home with that kit and doing at home moist heat compressing. Really important. I have a tea tree foamer that we use as part of our product line with iRevive, but all my patients with blepharitis obviously will maintain some of these good results we get have to be maintained over the months and years following. We also have a line of skincare. We've got something called E9 in our product line, which is a product we developed with my parent company, iEco out of California, that we initially used with patients who are on Xalatan. So a lot of patients that are on Xalatan start to get very kind of dark areas under, you know, the side effects of Xalatan. They start to get these dark circles. So this E9 product is basically a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory. So what it'll do over, let's say, 4 weeks of, you know, putting it on nightly, it will take away about 38 to 40% of that dark area, you know, the darkness under their eyes. So it's been a really great product. I started then using that on all my patients with lid rashes. I said, hey, if it works so great for this, why don't I try it on some of my patients that have contact dermatitis and kind of the flaky skin on the lids? I started doing that. It was like remarkably successful for that. So now I could avoid using a steroid. I would just use this instead. And then once we brought RF and IPL on, now I would use this as my post-treatment product. So I would sell them some of this so they would go home. So you can see when you have a dry eye patient and that dry eye patient has bought into kind of your treatment plan, they're going to go through 4 RF, IPL, gland expressions. They want this to be really successful and they want it to last as long as possible. So we always give them at-home maintenance products that they can use on their own to try to make the benefits of this last as long as possible. So I think that's a real key with dry eye. It's not just what you do in your office. It's what the patient does at home. So that part of our business has grown exponentially. And the nice thing with that is patients just come back. They buy again and again on their own. I don't see them. They're coming in. They're buying, you know, more E9. They're buying more lid scrub. We've also got like an overnight sleep shield, which I use with a lot of my patients. There's just tremendous amounts of lagophthalmos out there. And basically this silicone shield seals all the way around your eye, the whole socket, and traps humidity. As you sleep, it traps that humidity inside of this mask and creates such a, you know, hyper humidity chamber. It allows, even if there is that little gap, it really helps prevent that overnight dry eye. And I think that's something that a lot of OD should look at, because there's a tremendous amount of people that wake up and they say, oh, I open my eyes in the morning. I'm afraid to open my eyes. Like they hurt so much. So, you know, I think you have to combine your in-office treatments with at-home treatments. And when you start doing that, your practice is going to become far more financially healthy. And your patients, I think your success rates are going to go way up.
Yeah, that's amazing. Great to hear. I think that's all advice that we can implement now in our offices, you know, and I'd love to ask you a little bit about this. You know, the subtitle of the podcast is business, entrepreneurship, life, you know, these different factors, but the entrepreneurship part is definitely something that I really focus on with a lot of guests, specifically bring guests on who have this entrepreneurial streak, and you obviously do. You're a perfect example of that, not only with your own office, but now, you know, with iRevive as this other company that you've started many years ago. I'd love for you to, if you could just share with us kind of what motivated you and what got you over that hump. I feel like there's always a hump that people have to get over before they take something from being just an idea in their head to an actual tangible company, you know, or product. So if you could, I know it's been a few years now since you started it, but what was it that kind of got you through that?
What actually happened, the story is I had gone to a trade show down in the States. This was Vision Expo East out in New York. I saw some products I really liked there and I thought, okay, these are the products I'm going to incorporate in my office. I met iEco, which is the parent company that I distribute product for here in Canada. They had some products I had never seen before, like the sleep shields and the, you know, the moist heat compresses. Instead of doing just your, you know, generic kind of microwavable kind of mask, this was a very precise way to kind of do hot compressing. So I brought them back. They were very successful. And when I initially came back from the trade show, I brought a lot of product with me and I was surprised how quickly I kind of burned through all this product. So I called the company back up and I said, okay, I'd like to order more. And they said to me, well, we don't have a distributor in Canada. You have to get it in the United States. And I said, well, that's a problem because I don't live in the United States. And, you know, I can't wait 6 months or a year to go back down there and get some more. And they said, well, why don't you figure out how to bring it up? And then, you know, you could be a distributor. We'll sell it to you and you can sell to other doctors if they need it. So I had to get it myself anyway. So I did. I went through all the, you know, it's a lot of rigmarole, you know, learning how to import things and how to, you know, deal with Canada Food and Drugs. So I brought it in and I brought just a little extra product. So if they had a doctor that called from Alberta or BC or Ontario and they wanted, you know, to try something, they would just direct them to me and I would just sell them something. And so it started off pretty small that way. And then what I started to see was in my own practice, how this grew so quickly, because yes, I would prescribe something to the patient when I saw them on their, you know, their annual exam. But throughout the year, they would come in and they would buy it three or four or five more times in the year. And now suddenly, you know, we're selling five times more than what I'm recommending. So now that just started growing. So then I thought, this is a real opportunity. I started to attend trade shows. We developed the iRevive company. I started to add on some other, like I partnered with a company called Nutrigen out of San Diego. It has some omega-3 supplements that are just absolutely amazing. The iEco company started developing new products. They asked me to come on board and start helping them. So with the help of another ophthalmologist, we developed their tea tree lid cleanser. We developed the E9. We created bigger goggles that were proprietary for optometry because they were kind of using these goggles as just kind of a moist heat in a spa-like environment. Well, we created something that's really more medicinal. So it just kept adding. The key is, get yourself involved. If there's something you're passionate about, you really are interested in, just get yourself started. And then once you get started, you'll see one thing will lead to another. And they're just all little building blocks. And there's this, you know, this kind of natural kind of, you know, evolution of the way that your company or your business, your online products, you know, it's just going to grow itself. You'll see that it'll just start to take off. And you just have to, you know, kind of try to bring in new ideas. I think that's the number one thing that I could recommend to people.
Yeah, that's amazing that, again, that you confronted with actually a problem. I feel like this is where a lot of, you know, businesses and entrepreneurial journeys start, is you were confronted with a problem, which is you wanted to get this stuff in your office, but importing was all of it. But then you, instead of using that as an obstacle or as a roadblock, you kind of thought about how you could turn that into something even bigger or better, which is was amazing. And I think that's inspiring. You know, so any aspiring entrepreneurs out there, you know, maybe look at problems that you're facing as the thing that might actually propel you into starting a business. I'm big into philosophy and stoicism, and Marcus Aurelius is an ancient stoic philosopher and right emperor. And one of his sayings is the obstacle is the way. And there's a book, Ryan Holiday's book, named that as well. So the kind of, I think that is often the, it's relevant in an entrepreneurial journey. If there's an obstacle, that's often the way you have to go to get to your next step in your growth. So cool to hear that that was similar to what you had to go through. So Dr. Dorn, there's two questions I like to ask everybody at the end of each episode. Before we get into those questions, I'd like to offer you a chance to just let people know where they can get in touch with you or learn more about iRevive or anything else that you'd like to share before we wrap up.
Yeah, I'd be happy to, you know, answer any questions. If people want to email me, my personal email is Dorn Eye Care. So that's D-O-R-N-N. There's two N's, eyecare@shaw.ca. They can contact our online company, i-revive.com. Dot.ca. I have great staff. We have a chat line. If they just want to, you know, because it can be just completely anonymous, they can go on the chat line, they can ask a question about a product, and, you know, we'll respond to them right away and just kind of describe how the product works and how they would use it. You know, we do have special vendor pricing for optometry offices so that they can, you know, basically sell this product in their office. We don't sell our products to any pharmacies, anyone but optometrists. You know, so we sell to the public, and we sell to optometrists, and, you know, optometrists with their vendor pricing. We have a lot of, you know, really great customers. They buy a lot of product from us, and they have extremely successful dry eye practices. And, you know, I've learned a lot from them, you know, and I think that's one thing. Optometrists now, I think we can learn a lot from each other. I think there's a lot of really successful people out there that are doing some pretty amazing things in the dry eye space. And I try to learn as much as I can from them because they have some just tremendous ideas. But I think we are almost at the stage, you know, what's exciting to me, we're at the stage where optometrists are poised to do more than just that kind of refraction, diagnostics and refraction. I think we're at the stage where we're going to do procedures now. Like what's happened in my office that I never anticipated when I started doing this, my goal was to just treat dry eye. I had no plans on doing anything but that. But what ends up happening is, when you do IPL and RF, especially IPL, that energy from the Lumecca can treat any kind of brown lesion. So when you have a patient coming in and they have damaged sunspots and brown lesions around their eyes and on their face, you can treat that. And when I'm doing my procedures, I tell patients, I'm going to treat that. And it works remarkably well. When people have fine lines and wrinkles and they're like, you know, people are all concerned about, you know, our appearance and we want to look good. You know, obviously this comes from the dermatology world. So I tell my patients, this comes from dermatology. They've been using this for years to treat dry eye and wrinkles. And one of the early patients that I treated, it was a really interesting case. She had really bad rosacea. I did the, obviously right around her eyes, I did the, you know, the treatment. It worked extremely well. She came back after her fourth treatment and she goes, hey, I have a complaint. My skin around my eyes looks great. Except as soon as you get below where you didn't treat, it's now all wrinkly and I've got that kind of crepe paper skin. I want to treat it all. So I was so amazed by the difference between around her eyes and lower down on her face that I just did it for free. I treated all the rest of it just to see what kind of a benefit is there to the skin. And it's remarkable. She was in her 70s. This was definitely an older patient. So what I've seen happen is the medical aesthetics of this. And I think a lot of ODs are like, yeah, you know, that's not for me. I'm not going to do that. But think about this. If you have a rosacea patient and you treat their dry eye because they obviously have really bad ocular rosacea and you're very successful and you treat their dry eye, they're going to say, hey, you're a good doctor. But if you treat all the redness on their cheeks and all over their face where they have all these neovascular blood vessels, they're like, you're a great doctor. Look at that. Their wife says, look at my husband. He looks so young. I've had patients where the wife was upset because the husband's skin looked too good. And she's like, hey, we spent all this money on him. He looks way better than I do now. So we've really branched off a little bit into this medical aesthetics, which to me is really exciting. It's really easy to get into once you have good equipment. And I think InMode, and there's no question about this, has got some of the best technology on the market. Their RF is bipolar. I think that's second to none. I never have to use a shield. I never have to worry about side effects on patients, and we can do upper and lower lids. The Lumecca, which is their IPL, is the strongest source of IPL energy that you can get on the market. So it is extremely effective. So, you know, with me, the settings are simple. It's something that I think if you're interested in dry eye, if you want to get into this field, you know, you should look into this kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for that. And, you know, as someone who's getting into it now, I will definitely be looking to you. And I've already, you know, attended one of your lectures to learn more about how you've brought it in and the settings that you use and all these things. So, and any aspiring ODs out there who are looking to get into it, you know, do reach out to Dr. Dorn. He's got amazing wealth of knowledge. And again, for iRevive, it's eye-revive.ca.
Right. R-E-V-I, yeah, just like it sounds, revive.
R-E-V-I-V-E, right. Spelling is not my strong suit. So the last two questions that I like to ask every guest. Number one is, if we could hop in a time machine and go back in time to a point in your life where you were struggling, now feel free to share that if you're okay with sharing that moment, you know, that struggle that you're going through. But more importantly, what advice would you give to yourself at that time?
If I was just starting out, knowing what I know now, I would invest in the dry eye technology right as soon as I started my practice. Because when you start your practice, you're not really busy. You have the time to spend with patients. Dry eye is universal. You don't have to go out and advertise for these patients. There are 30% of people walking into your office have dry eye. A lot of them don't report it, but it's there. So you've got the patients coming in. If you have the technology, you'll have the time. You'll be able to spend that time, learn while you're just starting out. And I think if I were a new OD, this is definitely the way that I would start up my practice. I would delve into dry eye, become kind of specialized in it. I think it is a tremendous way to grow your practice. I would go out to my local GPs, or even if there's a rheumatologist in the area, I would introduce myself and I'd say, hey, I have a solution for your dry eye patients. They want a solution. And that's one of the things I did early on when I started doing this. I went to my local GPs and I said, I have a way to treat these patients, especially patients you have with arthritis and rosacea and any autoimmune like thyroid patients. And they just started feeding me patients. And you'd be amazed how quickly that grows. And I think if I'm a new doctor, that is something that I would recommend to anybody, because those GPs, they want to work with you. They want a solution for their patients. And there's no one better suited to do that than an optometrist.
I think that's so vital, creating those relationships with other professionals who could then refer to you. I know you've said that that's been a huge factor in the growth of your dry eye practice, is those referrals from other professionals. And that's definitely something that, again, maybe there's a bit of shyness or fear around approaching others about this kind of stuff, but obviously there's huge benefits to doing it. So thank you for sharing that. The final question is, with everything that you've accomplished through your practice, your business, everything else, how much of it would you say is due to luck and how much is due to hard work?
You know, I think it's a combination of both. There's the old saying, you know, you have to be good to be lucky kind of thing. I think if you work hard, things are going to come your way. If you work at things, you get experience, you get confidence, and then you can sometimes create your own good luck and your own good fortune. And I think in optometry, there's a lot of things happening right now. Like in Ontario, there's been some labor action. And we've been in Canada a little bit dependent on provincial healthcare. And what I think has been just fantastic about this is I've kind of seen our practice grow into something that we control our destiny. The patients come to us. We do these procedures. It's kind of a self-pay type of thing. And what's been really satisfying is the efficacy of this, how much improvement I've been able to see, not only from their anecdotal reports, but when I look at it quantitatively. So I think you can create your own luck. You've just got to keep working hard. And I think there's a lot of really smart ODs out there that I think could do really, really well with this.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much. And thanks again, Dr. Dorn, for taking the time to join me here, sharing all your expertise, knowledge, experience, everything. So thanks again. And you know, I'm going to be back in touch with you. I got a lot more to learn from you still. So thanks.
Yeah, anytime. Just let me know. Drop me a line. I'd be happy to share my experience. I'll share as much knowledge as I have. I love training ODs. I think, you know, they're a really exciting, you know, a great group of people to be around. So, you know, if anybody's got questions, just drop me a line.
Awesome. Thank you very much. And thank you, everybody who's tuned in. Again, whether you're watching on YouTube, listening on Apple, Spotify, thank you very much for taking the time. Thank you for all your support. Don't forget to hit like, hit subscribe. And if you don't mind, take a screenshot, put it up on Instagram, tag me, let me know what you thought. What was your takeaway from this episode? I always love hearing you guys' feedback. And stay tuned. We'll be coming back with another episode very, very soon. Take care, guys.